It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for everyone for being here today. This is a really important issue. We're going to be talking about this rule put out by OSHA. I want to just first say thank you to everyone who answers the call to serve, and these all the people behind me, including all of our first responders, our firemen, police, not here, just a couple maybe, but also our county legislators and our people in government who are standing strong on these issues and understand the impact that this rule could have. We wrote a letter back in May, a group of concerned members of Congress, bipartisan letter to OSHA, indicating our concerns about this really, what could be a very devastating rule, especially to our volunteers. There are a lot that will be impacted, but a lot of this rule will cause us to have to potentially lose some of our fire departments. This would be a grave public safety emergency. This would be even worse than what the rules, though I think maybe well-intentioned, are actually going to cause more harm and more threat to public safety if implemented. I think that we're going to be hearing from Ed Tate today and Jonathan about some of the alternatives and ways that we could amend this rule, but as we know, a lot of the rules are going to impose costly unfunded mandates on our legislators, on potentially losing our fire departments, but also just on some of our equipment, where we have pieces of equipment that are maintained by the fire services, some of them with 20 and 30 year leases, to have to be eliminated after only 15 years. This is going to be really, really rough on them. And so a long bipartisan letter that I think many of you have seen, it was written in May on this. Unfortunately, the public comment period has ended and they're going to reconsider this rule as early as November. And so we're sounding the alarm now. We want to make sure that we protect our fire service, protect our communities. That is the top goal of everybody behind us who leaves their regular job, goes out and does volunteer work to keep our community safe. And it's so important that we protect really this great American value. So many volunteers that don't get the gratitude and appreciation that they truly deserve. Many of them get a pin at the end of the year for doing so many calls or acting as first responders, saving people every single day. So we want to make sure we continue that tradition, and we want to make sure that we are on top of this issue and make sure that the kind of harm that it could cause doesn't happen ultimately. And with that, I want to just first introduce, and I think Ed's going to say a few words from FASNY, President Ed Tate.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much, Claudia, for your diligence to work with us. Thank you for working with that bipartisan letter that we put together, both at the congressional level, to educate the OSHA team of what this can do to the volunteer fire service in the state of New York and nationwide. I also serve on a task force nationally with the National Volunteer Fire Council, because this isn't just a New York State problem, it's a national problem that we have to work at. I found out a couple weeks ago on a conference call I was on that they're building this study on a fire engineering survey that was done that says the rural fire departments nationwide operate on a $1.7 million budget. Well, I can tell you, amongst all these people behind us, I think if we put all their budgets together, we won't come to $1.7 million. So we need to educate them. 40 years ago, they started this process and they revisited it, but the Volunteer Fire Service did not have a seat at the table to create this new study. We're not against it. We're not against safety. We're not against training. We just want a seat at the table to help us make this a viable rule that all entities can work with and work with professionally. But thank you very much for your time. And thank you again for your continued support.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And Ed and FASNY, they've been combing the halls of Congress meeting with members. And we really appreciate your advocacy on behalf of the Volunteer Fire Service and all the first responders and firemen. So we appreciate that. We know this is a typical bureaucratic rule that's 608 pages that we think could be misinterpreted as well. When you come out with something that big and that cumbersome, it's definitely potentially going to cause harm. And we're going to hear from Jonathan now to tell us a little bit about more of what the specifics are. And thank you so much for your support and everything.
The men and women standing behind me, they're the lifeblood of our fire service and our communities across Nyer County and across the state and across our country. And honestly, on February 5th, 2024, OSHA proposed a rule that would update the 29 CFR 1910-156 Fire Brigade Standard. It was first published in 1980 and hasn't been reviewed since. The proposed rule would replace the existing rule and expand the scope of it from the original small scope fire responder rule to now set broad standards that apply to not only industrial firefighters, but would now apply to employees engaged in fire service activities, emergency medical services, specialized rescue services, which could potentially include law enforcement and all our local DPWs. Many organizations, IAFC, IFF, NFF, and NFPA, had a seat at the table during the process, which makes one wonder how the final draft rule came out to be and what it is today. There are some good changes that should be implemented over time, but many of the changes are absurd, especially in the fire service. The implementation phases of some of the updates make no sense and are almost impossible to meet. Not one person in the fire service is against safety for our responders and our citizens, and most, if not all, agree the change for safety's sake is good. As you look at the 2024 OSHA standard, the changes proposed to the Fire Brigade standard, the focus is in command, control, response staffing, training, equipment, and leadership, based upon what is best for public and those firefighters under our command. Not much has changed. People have a fire emergency and they call us, expecting us to be there 5 minutes ago to fix that problem immediately. But did the planning group really look at the fire service holistically across the country and have broad understanding of what the needs are of our communities, both big and small? There are a lot of requirements in the proposed standard for documentation, pre-planning, and administrative requirements. OSHA estimates over 100 annual hours just to meet these draft regulations. Additional officer requirements as far as new training from lieutenant to chief officer, regardless of being a career or volunteer. Additionally, firefighters would be required to have Firefighter 1, Firefighter 2, CPR and AED, and additional trainings based on special hazards such as hazmat, vehicle operations, and other, just to be at the operation awareness level. These requirements on paper may look like they make sense, but what does it look like in the real world for our responders, whether it's the biggest departments in the country or our rural volunteer fire departments, especially what we see here in Niagara County? Change is good, but the change may cripple some of our agencies right here in Niagara County, both manpower-wise and also financially. New York State tax cap affects everything done budgetarily in New York State, and this change will certainly require funding from local, county, and state to make a potential new norm for our fire service. Yes, change is good, but we definitely need change that will actually work for our fire service and other first responders across the country. Thank you.
Well, we want to just thank you to all of you. Thank you to everyone here. And we'd be happy to take some on-topic questions if that's okay, if anyone has any.
If this does pass, what are kind of some of the consequences that you guys will face? Is it a lack of time, or is it funds?
I think you're going to see, with the passing of this mandate, you know, you're looking at some of the implementation periods. They're short. Unfortunately, you know, to implement some of what the standards are looking at, you know, especially in our volunteer fire service, these are people donating their time and efforts above and beyond their full-time job, their family, and everything else for them to actually take and implement some of these changes for documentation, training, and other things. It'd be very difficult to meet what they are, at least the way they have their time implementation now. You know, maybe looking at a long period of time of implementing something would make sense, you know, 4, 5, 10 maybe years to get to that, especially with changes in the standard haven't been done in, well, close to 40 years.
I think to add to that, so one of the things that's in there that I've heard from all across the state, actually all across the country, is the cost of the new trucks. So the average cost is anywhere between $800 and $1.5 million. So that would be a huge additional cost to require the department to pay it. I mean, we're looking at that some of these are mortgaged out for 20 and 30 years, and you're seeing the fire departments keeping, you know, good equipment going because they're MacGyvers. You know, they keep it going, they maintain it in a really good way, and that's why they're able to last a lot longer than normal. I mean, certainly everybody would love to have new equipment, you know, every couple of years, but that's just not feasible, and it's also just not the way that this equipment has been planned out. Also, some of the PPE equipment that they had is now going to expire, I think, in 10 years. That's going to be really expensive to replace. And I think, you can correct me, but how much is a turnout? One turnout gear, one...
About $6,000.
Yeah, about $6,000. So that, you know, all kinds of equipment expenses will be incurred. And, you know, you may have someone that didn't use it completely. Obviously, they always are looking at upgrades and training. That's something, as Josh and both Ed indicated, it is imperative that they do the training, and they are committed to the training, but it can be very expensive, and sometimes not all the training is necessarily relevant depending on the fire department, their service needs, you know, some of the mutual aid that's happening where they work together on keeping the cost down. So I think what our biggest concern is that this cost would be so large, and you mentioned the mandates and the caps in New York State, that could force us to close some of these departments, and we really would have nowhere to turn if there was an emergency. And you're talking about wait times that could be dramatically increased, and maybe no one ever being able to go to a site, and a loss of life, and that's a tragic public safety problem right there.
The other thing is, in New York State, we have a recruitment problem.
Sorry, I called you Josh.
In the Volunteer Fire Service, recruitment and retention is one of our biggest obstacles. FASNY itself hosts every April, we host a Recruit New York weekend where we ask you to open your doors. And with this mandate, as it goes in place like that, it's going to make it more difficult for us to recruit new volunteers of giving up their time, especially with their families, soccer games, baseball games, and double families working to be able to pay for a family to live today in the world. But we need a seat at the table, we need help, and we need more volunteers. And this isn't going to help us.
Yes. They're saying the budget, obviously, $1.7 million, not what these fire companies are getting. Is there, if these motion regulations pass, is there something that the federal government can do to maybe kick some more money into local fire or volunteer fire departments, or is there anything?
Well, it's interesting. I serve on the Science Committee, which actually is where the SAFER grants are. So we do a lot of federal funding and grants already going to fire departments. You know, you're asking, you know, we just passed $35 trillion in debt. The other day, you know, they're looking at the state. We do what we can on the federal side to make sure we have fire departments apply for grants. We do those grants. That grant writing happens all the time. I think that the problem is a lot of these fire departments depend on their fundraisers, their fairs, their own fundraising. That is where they get meet the gaps. And that's why you see so much support from the community. They recognize how important this is. But we're just hoping that we can actually not have rules that would, I mean, we're not saying cancel the rule. We just like to change the rule so that it can be something that we can use to preserve our fire service and preserve public safety. And this actually was such an overhaul that I don't think it would preserve public safety. As we said, we think it would hurt it.
As far as the overhaul goes, is it an issue of time? Is it like they're saying they want it too quickly? Like, What are the major sticking points, I guess?
I mean, you can read the 600-page document if you want to about it, but the unfortunate part is many of the changes, it's such a broad spectrum. It's not just, you know, we're going to focus on equipment, you know, response equipment or PPE. It's getting into physicals, required physicals, you know, updating physical requirement, physical fitness mandates now, a whole multitude of paperwork, pre-plans for fire departments, getting into the whole way we document and coordinate our plans within the agency now, and basically telling us almost how we're going to run our agency and creating a lot of burden on what we're going to take to run with it. Can it be done over time? Sure, but you're not talking 6 months. And some of the requirements we're looking for really are kind of off the wall. And that's what makes me wonder, like, where some of the agencies that were involved with actually implementing and developing this new standard, like where it came from, and wondering, you know, where were the locals? You know, you might have some, you know, IAFC or other agencies on that, and NFPA, but where were, you know, the grassroots, the men and women behind me, where were our seat at the table to talk about what it's like, that department that has a budget of $120,000 a year, how do they meet that standard? You know, because we're all going to have, it's OSHA, you know, we're all going to have to eventually meet that standard. So how do we get to that point to be able to provide the best safety for our constituents, whether we're rural Niagara County or we're big city New York City? How do we get to that level, and how do we meet that? Well, writing a letter and reaching out, and they can reach out either to my office or to FASNY or any of them, indicate to OSHA that this is a rule that would threaten their public safety. I'd be happy to have them call our office or contact us at tenney.house.gov. We would be happy to make sure those letters get to the right place and make sure OSHA is aware. You know, those need to go into the rulemaking process so that with the final rule before it gets implemented. You know, we'd love to have, obviously, letters from a lot of the different fire services, and we're going to probably get them from FASNY members and all across the state and probably all across the country, indicating what parts of the rule are tenable and what parts aren't, and what parts we could actually maximize safety without jeopardizing the life of the fire department itself.
There was a comment period that was in there, and there was over 5,000 comments submitted on that. The next step is on November 12th becomes the virtual public hearing part of the ruling rulemaking. FASE itself and the National Volunteer Fire Council are meeting in Kansas in September to set the table and to put together our professional and our real meat and potatoes testimony. But anyone, any volunteer fire department, any public servant, or any resident can submit a request to make a comment during a public hearing. Just go to nationalvolunteerfirecouncil.org, and it's all right there on the front page for you to get that information.
And we can forward everything to them to make sure it gets to the right place.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Anything else? Spell your name, sir.
Jonathan Schultz, JonathanSchultz, Fire Coordinator and Director of Emergency Services for Nye County.
You need his name?
Yeah. Edward Tase, EDWARDTASE, President of the Firefighters Association of the State of New York.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.